This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director for the CTF. My two good friends, Franco Terrazano, is holding down the fort in our embassy in Mordor. Hey, Franco. He's in Ottawa. He can basically see Parliament Hill from where he is, the poor dear. And Devin Drover is our in-house counsel, which is another word for super fancy lawyer. And he's also our Atlantic director. Are you on the rock right now, Devin?
I am indeed, home in St. John's.
Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about, as folks who listen to the podcast know well. Things are happening. So let me quickly update you on the latest on the carbon tax. So this is as of, what day is it even today? Is it the 16th?
17th.
Mike, see? Okay, so this is Friday, January 17th at around 10:30 Alberta time that I'm saying this with my face. So as of right now, Mark Carney is in. He's running for Liberal leader. He did his launch in Edmonton. And yes, the reporters who were actually allowed into the room that time asked him about the carbon tax. And he said something really wobbly. He basically said, well, we need to replace it with something that's even better than the first carbon tax. So those are some serious alarm bells. That does not sound like scrapping the carbon tax. As of right now, we are waiting on Chrystia Freeland, the former, very recently former, finance minister. That was it. That was entertaining, wasn't it? She's expected to throw her hat into the ring this coming Sunday. So in about a day and a half. We don't know yet what she's going to say about the carbon tax, but all of the media is telling us that she's going to scrap it. So stay tuned. That's super important, that big fight. But what is crazily important right now too, and I am actually getting phone calls about this, I just heard from a farmer yesterday who's losing his shirt, is the capital gains tax hike. So what the heck is a capital gain and why are they increasing taxes on it? In my non-econ degree dummy perspective, capital is something that you own, like a secondary house or equipment or whatever. And then when you sell it, you are taxed on that capital. It is considered to be a capital gain. So if you are, say, you own a secondary house or you're a machinist and you have all sorts of equipment, you sell that stuff, the government says, hey, I want some of that sale. That is your capital gains tax. The catch here is that last I saw, and I couldn't believe this because I've been so busy with the carbon tax fight, the increase didn't go through Parliament, but we're still getting nailed with it. Who wants to take that one away?
Well, I'll start. This one is really making me pretty ticked off, right? Like, this goes fundamentally against the important democratic principle of no taxation without representation, right? And as you noted, and we'll pick up a little bit later in the show with Devin there, Parliament never passed this capital gains tax hike. Right. But the CRA, these unelected bureaucrats at the CRA, are still reaching further into Canadians' pockets with this tax increase. OK, so we're going to get into the undemocratic nature of this. But folks, we actually just got some breaking news very recent where we just heard Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, announce that he will reverse Trudeau's capital gains tax hike. Now, that is big news because as of until literally a day ago, we didn't know what would happen if Mr. Poilievre does form a government on the capital gains tax hike. But he's now on the record committing, promising Canadians that he will reverse the Trudeau government's capital gains tax hike if he becomes the next prime minister. Take a listen to this clip.
The good news is common sense conservatives are announcing today that under a Pierre Poilievre-led government, I will axe the Liberal jobs tax and reverse the capital gains hike that Chrystia Freeland announced last spring.
Well, there you go. Mr. Poilievre very much on the record. And look, what Poilievre has been saying against the capital gains is that the capital gains tax hike is putting a huge drag on our economy at the very worst possible time, right? We should be making sure that Canada's economy is firing on all cylinders, protecting Canada's economy, so to speak, from what might be happening with the US, right? We should be focusing on creating as much as a competitive business environment that we can. But look, recent reports from the University of Calgary economist Jack Mintz shows that the capital gains tax increase will blow an almost $90 billion hole in the Canadian economy. Okay.
Sorry, just a sec. $90 billion with a B?
$90 billion hole in the Canadian economy because of the capital gains tax hike. But it's not just going after these like fancy billionaires, monopoly man. No. Because the capital gains tax hike will result in about 400,000 fewer jobs in Canada. And not just that, right? We've heard the Trudeau government time and again try to downplay this capital gains tax hike, right? Oh, don't worry, it's just the wealthiest of the wealthiest. Well, nay, says Professor Mintz. His report shows that about 1 million Canadians will be affected by the capital gains tax increase, and about half of those taxpayers will earn about $117,000 or less, right? So the capital gains tax hike is going after ordinary Canadians. It's going to make it harder for Canadian entrepreneurs to succeed. It's going after groups of Canadians like doctors, like business owners, people who are trying to save for their retirement. And of course, it's also going to impact workers as businesses reduce production because of this capital gains tax hike.
There's also the issue, like I raised it earlier, about property, because this farmer gentleman that phoned me, his mom had just died, and so he came into her property. And so it's not like this dude is some super rich, wealthy, you know, central banker or anything that owns a million different properties around the world. Sorry. You know, had to have some continuity at the beginning of the show. So it's not like he's in that position. No, his mom just died. So it has come into his possession. And now he and all of his siblings are going to get nailed with this higher tax increase on the capital gains tax. Now, you mentioned University of Calgary. I remember way back in the day, it might have been one of his papers, but I know for a fact that Pierre Poilievre was opposed fundamentally to the capital gains tax existing. So I'm not surprised that he's come out and saying, you know what, I'll get rid of the increase. We'll have to wait and see what happens during the election. Devin, you and I, a little bit of inside baseball behind the curtain. I phoned you the other day asking for like Cole's notes on this capital gains tax increase, and you told me something I didn't know. The taxation without representation is actually in our Constitution. Can you please educate me?
Absolutely. And, you know, Franco said it best at the beginning, no taxation without representation. That's not just a slogan that we throw around. It is fundamentally a constitutional principle in this country. Section 53, the Constitution Act of 1867, that's the very first constitutional document that was the foundation of this country, had a provision that said that only elected representatives in the House of Commons, as opposed to the unelected Senate, can pass tax bills. And this has been interpreted a few times since then by our courts, most notably in a case in 1998 that found that provision of the Constitution fundamentally means no taxation without representation. So you can't have unelected bureaucrats decide what your tax rates are going to be. You can't have unelected senators bring in huge tax hikes. Despite that, what we're seeing right now is the unelected tax collectors at the CRA, without any recourse or pushback from the Trudeau government, moving forward with this capital gains tax hike that's going to kill hundreds of thousands of Canadian jobs. So it is absolutely an undemocratic tax hike, and is causing a lot of pain for Canadians, as Franco has pointed out. And the Trudeau government will point to the fact that they passed something called a Ways and Means motion. This is something that was brought up in the House of Commons last June and was voted on. And the Conservative Party, to their credit, did vote against it, but it did pass the House at that time. However, Ways and Means motions are not legislation. It's not laws. It's instead just a procedural tool. It's used by politicians to signal to the bureaucrats what they hopefully are going to do in the future. I don't know about you both, but I certainly think a lot has changed since last June in the House of Commons. You have a new Democratic Party that is now pulled out of their quote unquote agreement with the Trudeau government, as Singh infamously famous ripped up the sheet of paper, whatever that meant.
Exactly. That was a lot of theater. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And then you have had the Bloc Québécois come out now and say as well that they want to bring down the House of Commons and trigger an election. And of course, Mr. Poilievre and the Conservative Party intends to do the same thing. And of course, Prime Minister Trudeau decided to resign and prorogue Parliament, which means that there's no votes happening in the House of Commons right now, and there will not be until the end of March. So one, this legislation to amend the Income Tax Act to bring in this tax change has never happened, was never introduced, never debated, never voted on, and the CRA is just pushing ahead as if it did. And not only is this they're governing or they're enforcing something that has never been passed by Parliament, it likely never will. You have all opposition parties saying they want to trigger an election. And the even if they do vote on it, it's going to happen after the tax enforcement already begun. So it's an undemocratic tax hike that's going to hurt a lot of Canadians. And that's why here at the Taxpayers Federation, we're pushing back against this. I'll have more to say in coming days about a potential legal challenge to this, and really looking forward to continuing to put pressure on the Trudeau government and the unelected bureaucrats of the CRA to stop enforcing a tax hike that was not authorized by a vote in Parliament.
I love it when lawyers who are on our side say things like, I'll have more to say in coming days, because I'm just picturing you like Batman teaming up with Alfred. You're getting all of your tools ready on your tool bench and fueling it up. All right. So I just wanted to get into a little bit of the sausage making that happens on Parliament Hill for our viewers and our listeners, because this sounds crazy even to me. And I've worked, you know, behind the curtain. So the folks who are elected to be members of Parliament, those are the politicians. They represent your riding in the House of Commons. They have staff, political staffers. When people say staffer, that's what they mean. They have zero job security and they could be gone in an instant. On the other side, within that ministry, so you've got a cabinet minister and his or her staffers. On the other side is the department, okay? And the permanent bureaucrats, okay? That is permanent government. Or as U.S. President Trump affectionately calls it, the swamp, okay? They're the ones that keep the lights on and keep things running all the time. That's why things are still rolling, while you can still get a passport right now if you wait for a while, even though the House of Commons is not sitting. What I don't get here, and exactly to both of your gentlemen's points, is how is it the staff on the department side of the CRA that it was just like, oh, well, there's no finance minister, so we can just goof off and fill in what we want to do. I know there's one technically, but Chrystia Freeland would have left a big power vacuum there when she left office. So just speculate with me here. Like, is this just CRA and the finance department people going a bit rogue and saying, okay, well, we got a clear indication from Ways and Means, so let's just do this? This is mind blowing to me.
I think part of the problem is not even the unelected bureaucrats of the CRA. As much as I don't have a lot of love for them, I think they're in a rough spot right now because the Trudeau government has not given them direction.
Okay.
If Justin Trudeau and the new Minister of Finance, Dominic LeBlanc, we'll see how long he lasts in that position. If he wanted to make this change, he could give direction to the CRA and make this change. And this doesn't need to be something that requires a court case. This shouldn't be something that requires a new prime minister to decide. This is something that could be fixed right now. I'm hoping that once we're done recording this podcast, it becomes out of date and we see that the Trudeau government has done something about it. But I have a feeling that this podcast will be published and multiple days after that will go on before they get off their you-know-what and do anything about this. So I think, as much as I think the unelected bureaucrats in CRA should be pushing back against their government and doing something, at the end of the day, the problem lies with the current government, lies with Justin Trudeau, lies with Dominic LeBlanc, lies with the Minister of National Revenue for not stepping in and giving transparency to taxpayers on how this tax hike is going to work, and as well making sure that the fundamental democratic principle of no taxation without representation is respected.
Franco, what are you hearing on this? Are you hearing from a lot of people? Yeah.
Let me jump in on this because I do think it's both, to Devin's point, right? Number one, it's bureaucracy run amok, right? A whole bunch of bureaucrats looking for things to do. And one of their favorite thing to do is take more money from taxpayers. But to Devin's point, it's also the political representatives who should be stepping in and putting an end to this. But guess what? When the government runs a $62 billion deficit last year, running a deficit between $40 and $50 billion this year, they are broke they are turning over the couch cushions to see all the different ways that they can take more money from Canadian taxpayers, right? Like, look, folks, like the capital gains tax hike this year alone is supposed to increase government coffers by almost $7 billion. Well, let's put that into perspective. The government is spending this year like $535 billion, okay? So even after this tax hike, you essentially have the Trudeau politicians and bureaucrats blowing through this extra capital gains tax cash in less than a week, right? This government is spending so crazy that they're going to blow through this extra cash in less than a week. They are broke, they know they're broke, and they're looking for more ways to take more money from Canadian taxpayers. And that's one of the reasons why you don't see our political representatives in the Trudeau government stepping in to put an end to this undemocratic tax increase, right? Because look, if they wanted to stop this undemocratic tax hike, they could have done it yesterday or the day before or the day before that. Like, so Devin is right. It's partly bureaucratic overreach. And a huge part of this is a lack of our actual political representatives stepping in and stopping this. And, you know, I just want to make another point about how undemocratic this is. Did you know that the Liberals in the last election didn't even run on a capital gains tax increase? Right? So not only did our parliamentarians not pass legislation for the capital gains tax increase, the Liberal Party themselves did not run on a capital gains tax increase in the last election. So it's not even like they can say that voters voted for this.
No,
we did no such thing. Not only that, but folks, if you can take a little stroll down memory lane with me, when the capital gains tax increase was introduced in the last budget, it was the Liberals themselves that removed the capital gains tax hike from the budget bill because they wanted to find a political wedge against the Conservatives.
Oh, that's but right. I forgot about that.
All of this undemocratic tax hike is on the Liberals' own doing, right? Like, that is what it is, right? And what the Liberals didn't foresee is that Canadians are sick and tired of tax hikes. We're sick and tired of the federal government taking more of our money and wasting it. So all of this can really boil down to incompetence, not just on the bureaucratic level, but especially on our political representatives in Parliament, specifically within the Trudeau government.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot that they had specifically taken that out of the budget so that they could. So the reason why they do that, folks, is so that they're not just fighting this big omnibus, you know, gangly bill of the budget, which has like literally everything in the kitchen sink in that stupid thing. So they didn't want to fight there. No, no. They wanted to make this kind of a headline scrap right on the House floor. And so they picked that. Imagine being so drunk on your own bathwater that you think having a good fight about a huge tax hike right on the House of Commons floor is politically smart, that this is what people need. So close to 50% of Canadians right now are about $200 away from not being able to make the minimum payments on their bills. What that means in normal people talk is barely scraping by. So you're borrowing money from friends to make the minimum payment on your credit card bill or to be able to afford food or your rent, all that stuff. Close to half of Canadians are in that position right now. Imagine being so stuck in your own echo chamber that you think, yeah, let's hike taxes. It's the same thing they're doing with the carbon tax. As of right now, based on the timeline, so they're all prorogued right now, which basically means the House of Commons is on hold, but members of Parliament still exist and they're still supposed to represent you. Most of them are back in their ridings right now. So give them a call. So they're supposed to sit back down March 24th. Then we're expecting a throne speech and a confidence vote. We're expecting, because all the opposition parties have promised, I'm looking at you, Jagmeet Singh, have promised to bring down the government in no confidence. So it should fall March 25th, 26th-ish, April 1st, carbon tax hike. Imagine being the new Liberal leader and door knocking on that. Hi, we just hiked your taxes. Can I have your vote? Like, it's the same thing here with the capital gains tax hike. And I didn't realize, I thought it just hadn't been given royal assent. Are you saying this wasn't even like passed through the House of Commons, let alone the Senate?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. There was never a vote on legislation. There was that procedural step, the ways and means motion, but that's not legally binding. No. So they never introduced legislation to amend the Income Tax Act to change the specifics of, one, the thresholds for when the tax hike comes into effect, or what the tax numbers actually are. That was never changed in the Income Tax Act.
I mean, it's bad enough when they pass legislation to rip you off, but now this is just them doing it anyway. And I gotta say, Dominic LeBlanc is not a newbie, okay? He was around back in the day. So he, frankly, so I've known him for years. I used to book him back when I worked at CTV at the Parliamentary Bureau. He's one of our regular panelists. So I saw him every week. Super smart, nice guy, which is why I'm not surprised that they picked him to try to go talk some sense into this whole tariff thing. I'm surprised that he's letting this slide because he knows better. He is not new to this sort of a job. He was one of the few, as I would describe them, adults left in the room, okay, from the Chrétien, Martin, kind of John Manley version of the liberals. So to have this just rolling on through and affecting so many people is inexcusable. I did want to flag something quickly about the physicians thing. I don't know all the nitty gritty about it. There are other advocacy organizations who have dug into this a little bit more, but I got to say anecdotally that I'm hearing from physicians who are saying, hey man, I was promised decades ago that because you don't have a government pension, like a nurse would, for example, you need to structure your practice and your finances in a way that you put money into capital so that when you sell, that is your nest egg. That's your pension version. I'm explaining it in a very rudimentary way, but that's how they said it. And so I've heard from three separate physicians without me asking, saying, hey, this is a complete violation of trust in what we were told, and me and my friends and people I know who are coming up through med school are gonna leave. So I don't know if we have a surplus of doctors in Canada where we can just afford to have them go, but I wanted to describe this because, to both of your points, this is not some mustachio twirling monopoly man who owns a yacht complaining about something. No, this is affecting a ton of people.
Well, it is. And I mean, like, even just beyond the people that it directly impacts, right? Like people who are paying the capital gains tax, it, like, there's a lot of Canadians, as I mentioned, a report from the University of Calgary economist, Jack Min, says that, like, look, it's going to hit about a million different Canadians, and half of whom are earning $117,000 or less a year, right? So, I mean, number one, it hits a lot of people. Number two, even if you're not directly paying it, I mean, look, like, it's also going to be encouraging that smart tech graduate from Waterloo or anywhere else in Canada to set up shop in the United States and take the jobs and the potential tax revenue with them, right? And with that, as we discourage Canadian businesses from being successful or investment to come into Canada, we're also reducing job opportunities for Canadian workers. So even if you're not paying the tax directly, the costs is really do trickle down and hit so many Canadians, whether it's lost jobs, lost business opportunity, et cetera, et cetera. But finally, you know, what the government tried to do with this capital gains tax hike is it tried to get away with taking as much money from Canadians as it could, right? So if it gets away with this tax hike, particularly if it gets away with this undemocratic tax hike, it sets a dangerous precedent for these politicians and bureaucrats that, hey, it's party time. Just keep reaching deeper and deeper into Canadians' pockets. And for those many reasons, that's why the Canadian Taxpayers Federation knew that we had to get into this fight and fight back this government's bureaucratic overreach and tax hikes.
Amen. Devin, did you have any final thoughts on this, or do you want to go to your taxpayer pro tip to wrap this up?
Would absolutely love to go to my taxpayer pro tip because it's certainly on the mark here. And that is, as you mentioned, Chris, Parliament's prorogued. It means most of the members of the House of Commons are back in their ridings right now, where they're accessible, or they should be at least. And, you know, some of them might even be knocking on your door. My recommendation, my taxpayer pro tip, is to find your local member of parliament and tell them that the government needs to stop plans to proceed with this undemocratic tax hike, that they need to get off their arses, they need to tell the CRA that they cannot enforce this tax hike that's undemocratic and going to kill hundreds of thousands of Canadian jobs.
I think that's the first time we've used the word arse here on the Taxpayer podcast and said like a proud Newfoundlander. Thank you so much, Devin. Franco, do you have any good terms to add to that?
I have two taxpayer pro tips. I was only going to do one, but during this conversation, I decided to come up with a second one. So the first one is pretty obvious, and it has to do with the carbon tax. And like, obviously, as we're talking, there's so much volatility with the Liberal leadership race going on. But like, as Chris, as you mentioned, think of the timeline, right? Parliament is shut down until the 24th. Going to be non-confidence votes, likely elections coming up right away after Parliament resumes. And then April 1 is the carbon tax increase. So, you know, my question to all those Liberal leadership hopefuls is like, do you really want to be knocking on the door right after you just hiked the carbon tax again? Like, I'm not even going to pretend to be this like smart political animal or political pundit, but like, I'm pretty sure that's bad political strategy to hike the most unpopular tax just before going to the polls. I don't know. Probably don't want to do it. But for those Liberal leadership hopefuls, you know, it's not enough to just say like, oh, we're now against the carbon tax after you've been in bed with the carbon tax for like a decade, right? So if any Liberal leadership hopefuls have any chance of building back trust with taxpayers, they can't just talk about the carbon tax, right? They can't just say they oppose a carbon tax. They need to tell the government to scrap the carbon tax right now, ASAP, before that April 1 tax hike. Look, if this government can pass a capital gains tax hike without even bringing in the legislation, it sure as heck can end the carbon tax right now. So that's the most obvious taxpayer pro tip. The second one I want to bring up, and I'll just kind of keep it brief, and I'll just be planting a seed with this little taxpayer pro tip. And the reason I want to say this is because I know that Mr. Trump is going to be president. I believe the inauguration is, what, the 20th, right? So it's coming up. He's talked about, quite frankly, massive tariffs on Canadian exports into the United States. We've heard the punditry class saying, oh, Canada needs to fight back with our own tariffs. Well, let me just plant the seed, because I think it's important for our audience in particular, who is naturally and rightfully skeptical of giving the government more power. And let me just plant the seed. A tariff is a tax.
Yep.
A tariff gives government more revenue, more money, more power. So be very highly skeptical of any smart person out there who says that a tariff, a tax, is the right way to proceed. Just planting a little seed, right, in everyone's mind. Like, let's not get overhyped on calling on our governments to be raising taxes on ourselves. Remember, American tariffs essentially are taxes on the American consumer. So if they shoot themselves in the feet, I'm not exactly sure we want to be shooting ourselves in our feet.
I think it's it's a great thought. The way I've always described tariffs are trade taxes.
Yeah.
Want import and export taxes? That's exactly what a tariff is. Does this seem like a super smart idea? Sure doesn't. All right. In bed with the carbon tax. In bed with it. They got married and had triplets with it. Come on.
Well, I'm not exactly sure of the timeline on what's the most appropriate step, but hey.
Got all these little carbon taxes running around now as a result of it.
We do.
All the carbon taxes. We do.
And they're grown.
Triplets, man.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of work to do there. Okay. The Liberals have got a lot of work to do. They can need to answer this question, frankly, before I get to my taxpayer pro tip. All Liberal leadership candidates should be asked these questions by journalists. Will you scrap the carbon tax? Yes or no? If you say no, okay, you're just like Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. No change there as far as the carbon tax goes. Just a different face in a different suit. Fine. If you say, yes, I will scrap the carbon tax, when? And if so, are you going to replace it with something? What is that something? Because taxpayers are done. We don't care what they call the carbon tax. If they call it a levy or a fee, exactly to your point, Devin, when you were presenting at the House of Commons and we had a Liberal member of Parliament pretending that we didn't have any carbon taxes in Canada. And she was even looking all confused. Unbelievable.
It was so like Scooby-Doo. You know, Rog, where? You know, like Scooby-Doo, like what?
That was so funny. And your answer was perfect. You know, am I an expert in imposing taxes on people? No, you're not. So a tax is a tax is a tax. So the Liberal leadership candidates have got to be clear, really clear, because it's us paying the bills. This is not some academic exercise. This is not an intellectual dissertation that you're giving at Oxford or something, okay? This is real money out of real people's pockets. So you have got to be clear on a carbon tax, yes or no. So to that point, though, folks, I want to put out a call to people, and this is my taxpayer pro tip. We cannot sit on the bench and just wait for the election. We cannot, let's say that the polls are correct. Let's say that Mr. Polyev forms the next government and he is the Prime Minister of Canada. We cannot leave all of this up to the next government, okay? Number one, outside of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation wheelhouse, all of the departments are on fire. So outside of finance, all of them are on fire. There's so much to do, okay? The repair list is long, okay? And it's going to take a while. What we need to do as tax fighters is get as much of that to-do list done now, okay? And we have got to stay in the fight. There's a really great quote from Roosevelt who said that credit goes to the man in the arena. You must stay in the arena for the fight, okay? So take it from Pierre Polyev himself. He recently sat down with Dr. Jordan Peterson, and he said that he can't do this by himself, and he wants Canadians to stay politically active and to fight for change. Listen to this.
Politics is a participation sport, not a spectator sport. So our business community is going to have to step up and make the argument for these changes, or I will come up against a lot of political barriers. So my message to everyone is, God willing, I will triumph in the election, but the people who want the changes that I'm talking about are going to have to stay politically active to push them through and over the finish line.
There, you heard it right there, folks. Okay, so we cannot sit back and think, oh, well, the capital gains tax hike will go away on its own once the election happens. The carbon tax will disappear after the election. CBC will be defunded. The gun grab will be reversed. I'm already losing oxygen. Okay, there's so much to do. So we have got to stay engaged. The best way to do that from the Taxpayers Federation perspective is to join our army. Go to our website, taxpayer.com. Find a petition that speaks to you. Okay. That really speaks to you. Like I said, if you want to scrap the carbon tax, if you want to get rid of the capital gains tax increase, if you're worried about a home equity tax, okay, they keep on floating that thing, Sign that petition, and then you're on that army list. And the next time it's time to take action and to push back on these topics and get some real wins, you'll be part of the solution. That, folks, is how you can stand up and be heard.